On Midwest Week, what has the Iowa legislature accomplished so far, just a couple of weeks into the new session? I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, Lee Enterprises bureau chief in Des Moines, and his work appears here in the Quad City Times and Dispatch Argus. So, Aaron, how has the pandemic affected the session so far? Are Iowa legislators wearing masks when they're on the floor and in committee meetings?
Yeah, I guess it's had some impact in some ways, and in other ways it hasn't. It hasn't in that they didn't decide to postpone anything or change too much in their operational structure. The ways it has changed things is they are taking some steps to try and limit the number of people who come to the Capitol, and I think that's also just happening by people's choices, not necessarily because legislators are kind of offering ways to participate in the process while not coming to the Capitol. I think it's also that people just are a little hesitant to come to the Capitol right now, understandably so. So there's not as many people around as you might normally see, and they are offering, they're posting all committee meetings online so people can watch that way. As to the math, I'd say, you know, this is anecdotal. I haven't done any head counting, but there are some who are not, but I'd say more are than aren't. So you'd always like to see even more to really be sure that everybody's as safe as possible up there, but I'd say a majority are.
Now, one of the major bills so far has been about schools and reopening them in Iowa, and what's been approved so far?
I'm just checking in with you fresh off of the governor signing that bill into law on Friday late morning here. It's a bill that now will require all K-12 schools to at least offer the option of 100% in-person instruction. And now, to be clear on this, it doesn't say that schools have to bring all students back 100% full time. It just means they have to at least offer that option. There were some districts that, you know, they offered an all online option and they offered a hybrid option, but they didn't offer an option of 100% in person. And now they have to, because the governor just signed that into law. It was debated in the legislature this week and she just signed it into law here Friday morning.
And how soon does that take effect, Aaron?
They did give schools a couple of weeks to kind of prepare and plan for any districts that weren't doing that. So it goes into effect on February 15th here. So if, like I said, for those districts that were not offering that, they have a couple of weeks to draw plans to make that option available to all their students.
Have you talked to people in education from school districts and stuff? What do they think about all this?
Yeah, the general consensus for people who are a little bit nervous about this is that what you often hear is that, yeah, of course, we want schools back or kids back in the schools as well. We agree that's the best way to do this, but we want to do it in the safest way possible. And for whatever reason, whether based on numbers they saw or the advice of their local public health experts, that there were some districts that just didn't feel they could do that safely. And so those are the ones that are concerned. And it was a small number of districts. You should make that clear, too. We're talking, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but I believe it's below 20, the number of schools in the state that weren't offering this. But that's the concern, that maybe they feel rushed back into this one and doing something and offering something that they weren't comfortable doing yet.
Now, Republicans in the Iowa legislature have often stressed the idea and their preference for local control, and yet this is just the latest instance of them taking away local control. Why is that?
Yeah, those examples are mounting here in these, what number of year we had of all Republican control at the Capitol. It's kind of one of those things that you're for local control until the local people do something you don't agree with, and then local control isn't the thing anymore. And that is one thing that the critics of this proposal talked about is, you know, they believe that school boards and school officials at the local level know best what's the best thing and what's the safest thing for their districts, and that this decision should be up to them. Republicans felt that they should all be at least offering this as an option.
Okay. Now, Iowa legislators have also been talking about another aspect of school choice, Aaron, and what's that been so far?
Yeah, so that's where the discussion, the K-12 discussion will shift now, is to the governor's proposal, which is a huge bill and does a number of things, and that's one that she'll be pushing for now. And three things it does chiefly, and I'll summarize this as quick as possible because we spend a whole segment just talking about this bill. It's so big. But it provides scholarships, which are taxpayer-funded scholarships that would be put towards private school tuition, and that's just for students in struggling schools. And there's a federal metric that tells you which those are. But if you're a public school student in one of these struggling schools, you'll have access to taxpayer-funded scholarships that you can put towards a private school tuition. It expands the state's charter school program. We only have two charter schools right now. This would kind of expand on that and create more ways for people to start a charter public school if they chose. And then the other big thing is that it eliminates diversity programs that don't allow students to open enroll and leave that district because of their diversity plan. And again, that's another thing that it's a really complex issue. But what it boils down to is that some districts, especially in bigger cities, with minority and or low-income populations, they have these diversity plans to kind of help ensure that they have as diverse a student population as possible. And because of that, some of those districts don't allow students to open enroll to another public school district. This law would eliminate that.
These scholarships for students, where would that money come from? Would it be somewhere else in the Iowa budget, or would that be from the education budgets somewhere?
So it would come from the general fund, the general state budget, which is also where education comes from. So what's essentially doing is it's not directly necessarily competing with an education budget, but it's now another piece of the overall budget pie that includes the public education funding. And that's where you'll hear concerns from people who oppose this bill and say that they're strong supporters of public education. If their concern is the more expensive this new program becomes, the less money will be available to put into public schools, and that could ultimately hurt their funding level. That's where the criticism and the concern comes from.
Okay, now one of the annual issues in Des Moines, Aaron, is abortion. What's under consideration this year?
So it's a constitutional amendment proposal that's working through, and this is a super long process. What is being proposed is an amendment to the state constitution that clarifies that the right to an abortion is not a guaranteed right by the state. And the end goal to that is that when other laws are written and abortion regulations are written, that the courts won't be able to reject those laws, as they have some in the recent past year, because it will be written in the constitution that an abortion isn't an inherent right. So that's moving right now and probably will get passed this year. But the thing about that is it's a long process. It has to get passed by two general assemblies. So they'd have to take it up again in 2023 at the earliest. They would have to pass it again. And then after that, it goes to a vote on a general election ballot. So we're talking 2024 before that can even happen. And the people, the voters of Iowa, get to decide it ultimately.
Okay, so abortion could still be legal, but the legislature could say we want to pass these certain restrictions, something like that?
Essentially, it enshrines it in the Constitution. So if there's ever, so if the legislature in the future writes a more restrictive abortion regulation that's on the books now, it will be less likely that the court can rule that unconstitutional, because it would then be in the Constitution that the Constitution does not guarantee a right to abortion. So basically, it's kind of a long play here. It's making it so eventually they'll be able to write laws that the courts won't turn around and strike down.